Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
We're coming into a day where it's upon us. Today is a day of the Lord's doing. He's been sharing this with me for some years now, but we're crossing over. You say, how are you doing that, Pastor? The Lord told me by faith to enter in, and I've learned to just obey Him. You know, I spent some time on the road preaching and teaching, and what I mean by that, in the 70s and 80s, teachers of the Word were in great demand. There weren't many. And when I came out of Bible school, we were encouraged rather than to pastor any of us with a teaching gift or teaching ability to go on the road because there was a great demand. And I would receive 200 contacts a month. Well, you can't preach 200 churches a month. But in those days, that's how much demand there was. So what I did after Living Word opened, and we were open a couple years, I went on the road to itinerate. And because Pastor Bob came to pastor the church, I knew I was going to pass it over to him. I there were things that I could see in the future, and I knew that I was going to be doing that. I also knew that the Lord was compelling me to go out and minister His Word, but not just His Word as a teacher. He said He would do something more, and that there's also the preach in me. Now, what I mean by that is there would be services where I knew the Lord was more interested in doing some things than just saying some things. Now, we're coming into a time in the body of Christ where the Lord's doing more. Now, what I mean, we've studied for years what He will do, and that's what teaching does. It says this is who He is, and this is what He does. Well, He wants to do some more doing. Now, I'm going to say that today may well become a series. I don't know that it'll be Sunday after Sunday. Might be. If I could have my way, it would be. But it won't be my way. It'll be His way. And what I mean to be saying is the anointing for the Lord to do some things is upon us. And I perceive His power present. And you may say, well, how do you know that? You become a conduit when you're given to ministry. And when I give myself more to prayer, I become more of a conduit. And the Lord's told me to do that. Now, today as I'm ministering the Word, at any point, if you feel the power of God coming upon you, you feel compelled to do so, you just stand up and receive the power of God. I saw myself say that, and I don't know that anybody will take me up on it because it's different. People are afraid of things that are different many times. But I say that if you find yourself wanting to receive a freedom, something, what will happen is you'll hear the word of freedom in something, but an act of faith causes the power of God to come into us. In those early days particularly, and I'm not saying it will or won't happen today, I'm saying the potential is here. People would stand and receive at miracle kind of levels in some of those meetings. Not all of them. I wasn't always there for that. It's always as the Holy Spirit wills, but something I've learned is He's willing to give us when we're willing to receive something. And something else I know about the Lord is when we're willing to humble ourselves somehow, He really moves in. So today, as I'm ministering the Word, I want you to understand we're crossing into a different kind of territory, and I came prepared to preach this or teach this or do whatever the Lord said to do, and it wasn't a wrestling kind of word. I knew instinctively or immediately what I'm to do. When I say instinctively, it wasn't in my mind. It was in my heart what to do. And when the Lord ministers this way, the Word will tell you something. And you might say, well, I don't know how that's going to happen for me. Trust the power of God to do some things for you. There's two primary ways the people of God receive the goodness of God. One is we hear the Word and we believe it by faith and we say, I'm taking hold of that by faith. Lord, thank You for bringing that into my life. The other is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Well, things can happen rather suddenly. I've had a lot of suddenlies in my life. I've had a lot of things where I've trusted God's Word in my life. I've done both. I believe that the Lord, when we stand on the Word and learn the discipline of learning God's Word, He will break through to minister by the Holy Spirit many times. Now today I'm going to touch on some things, and again, touch on some things that I think bring a greater freedom. I'll touch on some things that might step on somebody's toes. I'm not stepping on anybody's toes on purpose. Didn't have anybody in mind. I've asked the Lord how much liberty I can bring in this series, how much I can really say. And we'll see. I trust the Holy Spirit to tell me moment by moment what I can say. Now, I am going to honor the word this morning. John 10:10, I wasn't expecting to use this as a jumping off point, but the Lord told me to. He's told me this year to teach more on the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has a king. Our king is not an earthly king. Our king is a heavenly king. Our king holds all power and authority. Our king can do and likes to do whatever he wants to do for us because he's only about doing what's good for us. So if you think about the king that way, the king likes to break in and make things right. He's a king. So if he sees something that isn't right, he knows how to fix it and how right now. He just knows how to break in and do it. So I'm going to share from John 10, the thief comes only to steal. And today I'm going to talk about the things that he steals, the way he steals, in a little different light, a little different way to help you. And he also comes to destroy and to kill. But Jesus said, and these are Jesus' words, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, I would encourage you to take every shortcut you can. The Holy Spirit is into that. He's so into that, he shows us things to come because he wants to help us get to where we need to go. Why? God, our Heavenly Father, has proclaimed the end. He's called the end from the beginning. He knows how to make our way most prosperous and most blessed. He's into that. Scripture says in the Old Testament multiple places that those that embrace the Word of God will enter into blessing. So I want to show you some ways to embrace the Word of God that are easy. I had one advantage going to Bible school that others didn't have. I was the youngest person in school, and I would say, therefore, I knew the least. That makes sense, doesn't it? If it doesn't make sense to you, you didn't know me back then. I knew the least. But I had a heart to win and to learn, and I watched the Lord work with what diligence I could put in my efforts and trying. I had to study harder than other people. But in my efforts to work harder, I saw Him embrace me with more help from the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that that is for the taking for our church. You can have the same arrangement with God, and anybody really can, but I want it to be easy for us to embrace and get things the easiest, best way we can. Now, here's how you do that. You embrace the Word of God when you hear it and say, I choose to believe that. And then you say, Holy Spirit, help me with your power, and He'll fix things before you know what hit you. 3 of you believe it, 5 of you believe it, 7 of you believe it. We're getting better. Isaiah 46:10 says, God declares the end from the beginning. That means He's into doing things in a hurry for you if you'll trust Him. Now, Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship. That means He put us together, spirit, soul, and body. You've heard it said, and I'll say it, He doesn't make any junk. He made us to work better than we've ever worked before. He made us workmanship. That means like a fine-tuned clock that is not going to ever run down, run out, or miss a beat. It's going to run right. Now, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There's the key. When we come into Christ Jesus, we come into good works, we come into His workmanship, and He expects us to receive something supernatural in the arrangement we have with Him. I want you to understand that. He is into supernatural. He is into helping you overcome by the best possible means. And He's willing to present to you a shortcut in the person of the Holy Spirit to help you. Now, He says, we're His workmanship unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, God's plan all along was for everything to work out right. God's plan for us was to bring us out of every kind of trouble, because when Jesus comes in, He tunes up the clock. He tunes up our life. Everything that is out of order, everything that's been confused, everything that's been a mess, He comes in and He says, I'm going to set things straight in them. And then He sets the record straight. He goes back and erases the former record, and He sets the future up to go along with God. Now, there's a problem We talked about the problem Jesus did in John 10. There is an enemy out to steal that from you. There is an enemy who will come against you by any possible means, and many times subtly. The thing I hate the most about the devil isn't his power, it's his subtlety. How he tries to get in, and if we're not paying attention, we will give him room and think, how in the world did this happen to me? If you've ever had anything get out of whack and you thought, I don't feel like the workmanship of God today, you know what I'm talking about. He comes in. There's no secret. He comes against every person. There's something that I want to break down for you. In this house, the devil has come against anybody and everybody. All right? I'm just going to acknowledge that. And if you say, well, he's never come against you, see me after service and I will point out how you're not telling the truth. Because it doesn't take much. I mean, if we want to be truthful, we say we have had the enemy come against us. And I'm having you laugh on purpose and make something light on purpose because as I step out, I want you to understand how the enemy comes in subtly, and our culture sets up a certain warfare. There are things that we will have to fight against, stand against in our culture to not have the devil steal from us. And I'm going to use some things that have touched my life to some degree. I've seen plenty of things. There's something that happens to a person that is called of God. I believe that they have an acceleration or maybe have more of an attack from the enemy to try to take their life off track. And you can believe that or not, but I have some hair-raising stories for you that I know the enemy came against the plan of God. Now, any of us can choose to embrace that or deny that. I choose to embrace it and say what he meant for harm, whatever the enemy was coming against, was proof that he was threatened by what God had in mind. The devil doesn't know the plan of God, but he can smell it all over you. He can see it all over you. He can hear it in your words. And you start talking God talk, he is threatened by that. I've found in my life when I talk the God talk, the enemy likes to try to close my mouth somehow, mess with me. Now, so that's Ephesians 2:10, and those are all kind of basis for what we're talking about. But we're in a world where you have a competing master. Scripture teaches in a number of places, you have a master over you, and it isn't you. Now, we're in a culture in our nation right now that is bathing in everybody being their own boss, and everybody is their own master, and what we call freedom is being defined or redefined now as the freedom to do what one will any way they want to. Well, you can say that that's the law of the land. Well, it's not the law of God. It's the law of the land. So we want to kind of set aside the law of the land and recognize that thinking will cause you a lot of problems. And there's a lot of teaching that's gone out in the body of Christ that says, well, if it isn't hurting anybody and it's my own business, I can do it. The grace of God covers that. The grace of God is a marvelous and amazing thing, but when we don't do things God's way, it'll cost us. That's what Jesus was saying there in John 10 is, you may not see death, you may not see destruction, but look for the thief that's out to steal. If he can't take you out, he'll try to take you down. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Now, again, Romans 6:16, now know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, he didn't say being tempted, he said to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. In other words, you're gonna have a master depends on who you choose to obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. I want you to have a new view of what sin is. If it steals from you, it's of the enemy. If it's of the enemy, it's sin. Many times people think sin unto death. There is a sin unto death in the scripture. There are some things that are fatal that give the enemy a lot of room. But there is sin that people take today as liberty. And I want to talk about that. And I want you to understand that as I talk about some of these things, you may say, well, I'm in that or I've done that. I'll say this honestly. I don't care. I'm not here to expose something in a person. I'm here to expose the way of the enemy so that Jesus can have his way. I've learned that the word cuts things asunder from us. When we hear God's word, it will begin to carve something out that we couldn't get rid of ourselves and bring a freedom and a liberty and a healing and a cleansing. And I believe that. He says, whether unto sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. And the challenge in our culture is people think they're their own Lord. And that's the greatest deception in America today. When one thinks they're their own boss. That's how the world has gotten into the people of God so much. And I hear routinely, I mean, I'm not a judger of people. I'm a lover of people. And I have continually pray, Lord, help me release your compassion to make a difference. So I don't get upset with people when they don't know these truths. I have compassion. But there's some things that you learn over the years, and people thinking that they're self-lords, when we think that we're in charge, we take the power away from God and we're giving power to the devil, because there's two masters, Jesus and Satan, and they're at war for people. And Jesus has already done everything it takes for us to get the victory, and he did not make it hard to obtain. He made it easy. He did all the hard stuff. Now, for years I watched the result in people of ignorance that had been exploited. I traveled a lot. I traveled a lot in business, and in business I worked with a lot of different groups of people. One group I want to talk about that lived on the Barrier Islands in South Carolina. And those islands, when I was going there in the 80s, were just having bridges built out to the islands, and they were being developed. So they had been closed cultures. And part of my job was to go to the resorts on those islands and convince local people to work for our company. And there had been a culture developed there over the years, because these folks were descendants largely of plantation owners, and the ancestors were slaves. I asked the Lord, Lord, give me insight into how to relate to these people, how to reach them. We had some glorious Bible studies with those folks. But they spoke their own languages. Island to island was a different dialect, and it was called Gullah. They had their own talk. I learned quickly how to do it, how to understand it. I learned that they had a lot of things mixed up in their religion based on what slave masters had told them through the years. They believed until the 1940s and 50s that the mainland was cursed not to go there, because they had been trained for generations to stay on the island. They wouldn't be treated somewhere else. Don't go to another island. There might be somebody hostile there against them. And so goes oppression. But I came in after, generations after that had been legally done away with. But I saw the hold of oppression still on people. Still choosing to think that their world and their way was somehow right, and they missed the whole point of the freedom and liberty. Now, I saw that broken over people as the bridges came in and resorts were built, and they learned that they could achieve and do anything. I want you to understand that that's the kind of freedom Jesus had in mind when he's pointing out there's a thief that deceives people into accepting something less than God wants, because we won't cross the line by faith to find out for ourselves if it's true. I don't want you to be stuck on an island unto yourself. I want you to enter into a place where fellowship with Jesus is richer, and he wipes away all of those former things. See, there's things that have brought bondage in that you may not realize have brought bondage into your life, and these dear folks were like that, and we became very close. You know, the kids would go with me, and the folks that ended up working with us would fix us wonderful meals and take us out on the ocean fishing and teach us all the secrets of their land and take us to their ancestors' graveyards and little homes and everything imaginable. It was a very precious relationship. What I'm talking about is God has something for you that's going to break down barriers by His power. I remember one of the most empowering days on Edisto Island. There are a number of islands, Edisto, Dufusky, Hilton Head, those three I was involved in. But I went out on Edisto, and I was the only white guy on staff, and they didn't like me at first. I said, let me tell you why I'm here. And I could hear him talking. Oh, he's going to lower the boom now. I said, I'm here to tell you that I'm here to promote anybody who wants to be promoted that'll work. I'm here to tell you that there's room for you to, somebody among you, I said it like this, somebody among you, somebody here today is going to be chosen by me to be the manager here. And you're going to make this much money to this much money. They didn't believe me. They were so steeped in what they had known and oppression that they didn't believe that there was something more. There was one person that stepped forward 3 days later. Her name was Hazel. And Hazel said, I'm going to believe you, white boy. She's a little younger than me. We're close to the same age. She said, I've got twins at home. I've got all kind of stuff going on in my life, and I'm willing to work hard, and I'm going to trust you, but if you do me wrong, my people will come in the night. And I believed Hazel. She had a lot of people. She became the manager and did a wonderful job. Saw things that she'd never seen before. Went to Tennessee. She'd never left South Carolina before. She said, I want to see how white people live. I said, come on. We'll show you. We had a good time together. I don't say those things because I'm racist. I'm one of the least racist people you'll ever meet. God's moved in my life through a lot of different people. As we go on now, God doesn't adjust His plan to fit our culture. He wants to release us from our culture so we can enjoy His plan. Whatever it is in your history, whatever it is that stopped you, He wants to free you up. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion. I want you to understand that things that have gotten in your way or are affecting you now, God's not the author of anything that confuses His plan. He only means for us to have the good. I'm going to talk about some things that I believe are social confusion issues. The Lord's instructed me there are some things that I need to bring out and teach on that I know. And I wait till He says to do some things, but He's having me hit some things that bring confusion socially. Things that are in the world that try to get into our lives. Things that come in and try to allow the thief in. I want you to understand how the enemy steals from the people of God always has to do with confusing us somehow. Confusing the plan of God, confusing our faith to not believe the Scripture, confusing our future to make a wrong decision, any way that he can get in and do that. But there are things socially happening that I've seen over the years come into the church world. Now, when I say church today, I'm not talking about our church, I'm talking about the church. Talking about what has changed since those early days of travel, and I guess that was 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, right in through there. Things that I've seen come in that have become socially acceptable to the people of God that steal from the people of God. I'm going to ask you to have your permission to talk about things like that. Well, I wasn't very many, but I'm gonna take the liberty then because I have God's instruction to. Here's some things that we may not think about. I'll start with one of the most obvious and easy ones. You say, I wish I had pastor's notes. You can get them after, and it's all on there. All right. There's been a great trend in our nation for junk food. So I'm going to start with one everybody knows about. You'll probably know about all of these. I know you do. This is an easy and obvious one, and why do we do it? It's convenient. Why do we do it? It tastes good. Why do we do it? Because the commercials got under our skin. The promotions. I was thinking today of all the funny commercials. The old lady on the Wendy's commercial, where's the beef? I was thinking of Burger King, the two all beef patties little song that they used to do. I was thinking of Have It Your Way. I was thinking of McDonald's and Ronald McDonald dancing around, calling kids in like a Pied Piper to eat a hamburger that I think it cost 29 cents when I was a kid or less. Wasn't very expensive, and there wasn't any around here. You had to go somewhere where they had one. And I remember the fascination of riding in Mom and Dad's big car to A&W Root Beer and McDonald's and all of those places. And, you know, as a kid, until you know better, food is food. And I mean, it was instant. It came in the car. It made Mom happy, not cooking. We didn't know about nutrition. All right. It was food. Have you ever missed those days where it was all good because it tastes good and we didn't know any better? See how over time we learn a little bit more about things. And we tend to, as people, but especially in the American culture, embrace what feels good, tastes good, and will do us some good, and then weigh the consequences later because the consequences are not published up front. So we're revealing a trend that's brought people, brought things into the body of Christ because of an appeal or somehow making a connection to us. Now, it's convenient, cheap and convenient, and you got to eat. Now, junk food affected my life. I had the kind of job I traveled. Junk food put 120 pounds on me more than I am now. Junk food did it, and lack of exercise, a few other things as I got older. But it's mostly junk food. Why? I would eat most of my meals in a Toyota Camry, holding the big drink, giant size, whatever, between my knees, one hand on the steering wheel, another had a little tray over here I put all my food on, and then I'd put a great big old towel over here so if ketchup wouldn't drop on me. And I would not order a little meal. I'd get the king size because I was king size. Now, thankfully, God moved in my life to help me. But I'm going to tell you, it was a pattern that I willingly embraced for a number of reasons. First, my ignorance to what it would cost me long term in physical health. I saw myself gaining weight and I didn't like it, but I didn't do anything about it because it didn't hurt me really. I could still do my job. Eventually, it hurt me. You know, I talk about a back injury and learning how to walk again. The back injury came when I was at my heaviest weight. Now, they're associated. Now you say, "Well, Pastor, you're stepping on, I'm going to step on everybody's toes before I'm done today." That's not my purpose, to step on toes. You know, quite honestly, I very slow to judge, very quick to reveal Jesus' compassion. Well, I've been a subject of his compassion so many times, it amazes me. Now, I didn't know about the caloric overload and the minimized nutrition and the obesity and health problems I would have. I did find out I couldn't really break the cycle on my own. I needed the Lord's help. And he helped me lose 20 pounds here and there. But after a season, the Lord spoke to me about fasting, and it broke the curse over my body. And I came from family that said, you know, we're just big people, and that's how it's going to be. And I just accepted that until I recognized the Holy Spirit had something more, and he would give me the desires of my heart. The desire of my heart was to not be bound that way. Now, that's an easy one. But that's as serious as anything that I'm going to talk about in this whole series. So we go. I want to talk about alcohol. Now, you got quiet. Boy, I knew it would. I'm going to tell you, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about fast food. They didn't have any when it was written. Not really. The Bible doesn't say you can't ever have a drink with alcohol in it. It's not in there. I know that some folks want it to be. Others are glad it's not. It's not in there. What does that mean? You have liberty to eat what you want to. Pastor's not going to pay attention. I don't care. It's not up to me. You have liberty to have a drink if you want to have a drink. Not up to me. I won't judge it. I won't be mad. You don't have to hide it when I come to your house. It's not important to me. Here's what is important: how it can hurt you and steal from you. See, when people are quick to say, well, that isn't in the Bible, you can't condemn me. I'm not out to condemn anybody. If you know me at all, you're going to know that. But let's just say that you have one beer a day. Costs about $3. We'll make it not the cheapest one, but and maybe you're going to be with buddies to have it, so it's about $3. That's going to be $1,095 a year if that's all you do. But times 50 years, if you do it over the course of 50 years, you're going to get a belly on you. You're going to probably have some impaired judgment at times. Might end up with some health problems. And it's going to cost you about $105,000 over the course of 50 years. Now, the way I would look at that, and I tell young people who ask me, the Bible doesn't say you can't have a drink when you are of legal age, but I would not give the enemy room to steal from you what could be gone. How did you get $105,000? Because you invest that at 3% return, which isn't much. Over the course of 50 years, $105,000. That's pretty good, a lot of stuff. I don't know how many cars is that, Josh? Depends if it's an Audi or not, right? It's one Audi used. But around here, it'd buy a bunch of good vehicles, all right? Now, the Bible gives us room. The Bible forbids us to judge somebody else's liberty, but it tells us to judge very carefully our own liberty. I can't imagine depriving my kids of something they need while I'm drinking away $105,000. Just telling you. Why? To me, that's letting the thief steal from my family. So it's not hard for me to step back from that and say, that looks stupid to me. Now, you got to decide for you. But if you decide today and you say, I want to cut something off from me that's doing that, you just receive the power of God and watch Him help you. Why? That's the house you're in, house of freedom. We sing about it all the time. The Lord wants to be doing some things about it. Now, I'm going to hit another one. And these are things that have touched my life one way or another. And I'll have to clarify as we go. It doesn't mean that I had problems with all of these things. It means that the obvious temptation was there. I come from a family that made their own liquor on both sides. Lots of it. Germans and Irish and Italians, and they all did it. And I was the taste tester when I was a kid, and I didn't know any better. And it wouldn't have taken much to get way off track over there. Now, why do I say that? Because don't think that temptation just happened to you. You were set up. The enemy tries to set you up. See, is this an avenue to steal, kill, or destroy? So when the Bible says we have a liberty, you have to decide, is this a liberty that I can afford, or is this going to let the enemy steal from me? I recognize with drinking early on, that would be a way the enemy would steal from me. And I don't want him to. I was also told in Bible school, if you get caught with a drink, you're kicked out forever. That had an impact at 18. Now, I want to talk about smoking. I remember smoking touching my life in many ways. Dad's family were tobacco farmers. They all did something with tobacco. So again, it was, and this is, Tim and I have something in common. We're from the same era, all right? Number of you from the same era. It was cool to be a smoker. It's not anymore, is it? It's like, what? What? These young kids are like, that's nasty, that's dirty. No, we if you were a country guy and kind of Western, the Marlboro Man kind of jumped off the page at you. And he was manly. So when you're 14 or 13 or 12, probably, you're looking for, where's a manly something I can copy? And it was not only socially acceptable, at 12 I could buy them uptown if I wanted to. And I knew the worst thing that would happen is they might call my mom. Mom didn't know exactly how to stand against that because it had been something in the family. Mom and Dad were not smokers. They didn't use tobacco of any kind. But a lot of people we knew did. And it kind of was, it was socially acceptable. But I started paying attention to or noticing the end of that. I had a grandfather that smoked his whole life, and he coughed all the time. And I made a correlation, and I thought, I don't think I want to be making the noises and doing the things that he's doing on the side, and it affected me. But the lure was still there. And, you know, get a little bit older than other, there was other appeal. And I'm taking time to talk about this because I'm trying to show you something that happens in every generation with something, is confusion comes in. I'd hear at church, my preacher in those days was real straight up, sin is sin and smoking is a sin. And I'd challenge him, where's that in the Bible? Because I'd go home and I had a pack kid, you know. And I wasn't smoking much, but I mean, it was the cool thing to do at school to get away with it. Hide behind the bus shedder somewhere. You say, Pastor, you shouldn't be saying this in front of our teenagers. They know all the tricks already. All right. And they're not much interested in smoking, so this is a great one to exploit a little bit. Then Camel would come out, and the Camel commercials, and the Camel man, he was a little bit older and a little burlier and hairy all over. That was a badge of honor in those days. You didn't shave your hair off everywhere. You came out, it was like a badge of manhood. So there was a Camel man, and always back in the back of the ad would be this scantily clad young woman that was coming for him because he was a Camel man. Well, along about 16, that has a certain appeal to a young man that wants the young ladies to come check him out. So all of a sudden, there's a new kind of lure. And I went online this morning just to remind myself all the slogans and things. And there, you know, there was those were the two most popular ones when I was young. But there were all other kinds. And I went and pulled the ads, and they're all doing the same thing: be a part of our club, be a part of this group, and you'll be like this guy. And this will happen for you. And the ladies had ones too. I mean, they, you know, there were several ladies' ones, and the man was in the background, or he was coming around whistling at her or whatever. And make you think that somehow those things are all connected. And it was a kind of deception. Now, why I bring it out is, but for the grace of God, those things would have grabbed me and had a hold on me. And I don't so much credit seeing people's end in it. When you're young, you don't see a lot of ugly stuff. When you're older, you do. But when I was young, somehow the power of God would change the appeal, and I would feel so guilty. I remember with friends in junior high, all lit up, how they were having a great time, and I'd feel miserably guilty. I wasn't afraid of getting caught. It wasn't a matter of getting caught. It was a matter of, somehow I knew this isn't going to help me. Now, there are a lot of ends to that. You know, at a two-pack a week habit over 50 years, that's $268,000. Boy, that's a pretty fine home or two or three, right? I mean, that's a lot of stuff. But the resulting sicknesses and challenges to the body, I see in the body of Christ how many, many need help and need healing at the end of a lifestyle like that, crying out for God's help, but they have a hard time receiving because they know they did all those things. And that doesn't all add up. It's hard to believe God for a benefit when we don't obey Him by cutting the thief out. See, the thief isn't going to let you know up front, this may feel cool for now, but it's going to make you cough your guts out later. He's not going to tell you that. He's not going to let you know anything like that. Now, hypertension and wrinkles. I remember being a little kid and asking an older lady once something that sucked the life out of my mother. I remember going up to this woman and saying, "Why are you all wrinkled up like a raisin face?" And mother was like, because this woman owned a number of farms that we farmed, okay? And she was staying at our house, and I just thought she was curiosity. I didn't know what happened. I thought something happened to her. And I remember her saying, taking my hand, her name was Luetna, She took my hand and she said, "Sweetheart, I want to tell you something. I smoked my whole life till I learned it was killing me. And I've laid it aside, and it cost me a lot to lay it aside. Promise me you won't smoke." And I said, "Was it fun?" She said, "For a while." Nobody tells us the end results. Now, well, why do I bring this out? I don't know. Somebody's tell your kids stuff like this. I'm giving you the lay of the land to say, look at the cost. I mean, most young guys, if they could bring forward $10,000 on a car, they'd roll it forward and say, "Man, that's a way to get it, fellas." Don't take on things that the devil can steal for what it feels like at the moment. Now, I want to go into yet another one for a few minutes if I can, because these are all things that bring confusion, and what they're confusing is the blessing of God. That's what they confuse. And I want you to understand, we have liberty. You can come to church here, and you have liberty to live as you will and make the decisions you will, and I'm not going to get after you. And I tell our leaders all the time, don't get after anybody. Don't get after people. That's what the Word does. The Word shows us where the knife needs to work. And if you're at all like me, you'd rather the Holy Spirit have the knife and not your friend or your enemy, especially somebody that feels like they want to do a cut on you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But the Holy Spirit also is the one to bring a miracle where we hear the Word and think, "This is impossible for me," but He will do it in a moment. The greatest confusion that's come into the body of Christ in the last few years is that of gender. Gender confusion. Well, I want to say a few things about that, because it's popularized by liberal humanists and it's taught at school, a lot of schools. Now, I have to say something about this. I was a young minister in Florida when I was traveling before Lucinda and I were married, and never gave much thought to this, but I was living at one of the beaches, New Smyrna Beach, out on the island. A churchgoer had a house there she was not using. Her husband had passed away. She said, "Take my house, use it for as long as you want it. I'm living up in Orlando right now. Make that your ministry base in Florida." I had a great time there. I didn't know a lot of stuff when I was young. We grew up around here, there were jokes about people who made that lifestyle, but it was sort of the thing that you said to get under your friend's skin. You look a little bit, whatever. That was about the extent of it, but I got to New Smyrna Beach and they were after me. Say, "Really, Pastor?" "Yeah, and I wasn't acting feminine." Say, why did that happen? I was launching traveling ministry and I didn't know some things. I'm going to tell you, if there can be a recruiting effort for a minister, young pastor in those days, there's a recruiting effort. Who's a recruiting effort by people? No, the enemy trying to confuse anything that he can. The enemy trying to confuse. Well, if you spend much time on the beach, and I liked the beach, you spend much time on the beach as a young man, you'll be approached. Now, I say that because there's places you don't go and things you don't do. You want to teach your kids how to stay out of confusion. The reason I'm bringing this up is it's become almost a social fascination. It has become popular where I'm astonished at even what people tell me when I'm in public knowing I'm a preacher. And I say, "Now, Lord, how is it that this is coming into the body of Christ? Because the law of the land says it's okay. The church says it's okay. The church says that confusing gender is okay, when nowhere in the scripture, there's no scriptural support for that lifestyle. In fact, there's pretty strong condemning language. The strong condemning language is in the Old Testament law. So we know from the Old Testament law, God didn't like it. But He didn't like adultery or fornication either. So why has this lifestyle come into the church? Because fornication came into the church is okay. That's why. It's a slippery slope. Now, why do I say this? We're not going to be a church that's rising up preaching against sin. I'm preaching liberty this morning. But we need to understand how culture has affected us and gotten into our thinking of what's okay. And I hear people say all the time, well, I'm not hurting anybody and it's my decision. Or I'm good with it. Well, I want to help them be not good with it. Something like that. Now, not acceptable to God. It's a primary attack against Christian values and God's model for families. I have family members, a number. I have a family member that's deceased now, a cousin of mine that actually was here when we started the church. He went away to Bible school, came back from Bible school. We were living in the South in those days. Came out of the closet. Said, I'm good with this. God's good with this. He died from AIDS about a year after that. I'm not saying that that's a judgment, but didn't the devil steal something from that young man? Talented, gifted musician. I do believe he loved God. I do believe he went to heaven. But I do believe that he got his life cut short at 20-something. Instead of living a full life. I believe that he got robbed of a family. I believe that he got robbed of why? God doesn't create confusion. And I know there are various opinions people have on this subject, but God is not the author of confusion. I had someone say to me recently, I hear this commonly, you don't understand because you weren't born this way. Now, what people don't understand are there's spiritual forces at work. And here's where you have to have compassion. People can think they were born a certain way because there's a spirit working against them. And when there's a spirit working against them, they sometimes think it's just how they are when there's a spirit molding how they are. And I've seen people set free while I'm bringing this today, as I've seen people set free by the miracle working power of God, and this will be a place where those things happen. Because God's not into confusion. He's not into people losing his plan for their life because the world got in and confused people. Or think of it this way, the devil got in and confused people. The first place the enemy tries to attack is our flesh. Everything today I'm talking about has to do with this body and how it's made. But I watched this same young man be used of God to sing. Even in days after he made his proclamation, trying to give God the glory. Now, to the little kids that were observing that didn't know what was going on, didn't make sense, but to the teenagers looking, they thought, he's still trying to honor God, but he's chosen that lifestyle. What did it brought confusion because nobody would say, look, it's wrong. See, there comes a point, the only way you get rid of confusion is you go back to God's word and say, what did he say about it? So again, I'm not saying what pastor says. I've known many people have friends who are in those kinds of lifestyles, but I am out to win them and convince them to not give their life over to confusion. Right. Now, what will the long-term cost be to go against God? And can we measure that? We couldn't measure the long-term effect of being a chain smoker. We couldn't really measure the long-term effect of being a social drinker because, after all, if the Bible tells us we have liberty, I had this asked of me last week, Pastor, who are you to say I can't choose to be with another woman or be with another man? I'm not being anybody. I'm saying, what does the Bible say? See, if we're going to be a Christian, we have to decide, are we all in or half in or what are we? Now, God's word will bring us out of confusion. So I don't want to end on a low note. We're not done with gender stuff, but we're done with it for today. Now, Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's the most common verse I hear from Christians in alternative lifestyles. And they don't say the rest. So must say the rest. Who walk not after the flesh. In other words, I'm not going to give to confusion and let my flesh reign. Now, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Notice he uses the word law because there's masters attached to it. It's real important. Here's how you test. Am I going to get in trouble? You give room for the Holy Spirit to begin to pray through you. You give room for the Holy Spirit to work through you. You hear enough word like this and don't run from it to let the Holy Spirit speak to your own heart. Because I can't tell you. I'm not going to say that you can't have a drink. You've heard me preach otherwise. The Bible doesn't say that. So what do you have to do? Be careful of your liberty. Will it get you in trouble? And be aware of the cost. Okay? It'd be real smart to be aware of the cost. The same with anything that is out there. Almost anything is acceptable in the church world now as okay because it's socially acceptable and it's even become socially popular. Whatever's really popular with the world, I've kind of learned there are barbed hooks in it. Find them. And if you're going to eat what's on the hook, be aware of the barbs. And if I was you, I'd find a different worm. That's what I would do. I mean, I'm just telling you. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God will cut away any confusion and move us into blessing. Do you believe that? The word of God does that. Now, I'm going to tell you what the word of God's done so far. Disconcerted everybody. Why is pastor doing this? To give you the freedom and liberty you deserve. Because you have to weigh it out for yourself. And I haven't been like out taking a poll or out seeing who's into what. And I'm aware of what's happening in the church world and Jesus telling me my responsibility to it. I'm here to tell you, he's the deliverer from anything that's stealing from you. So this morning, and I'm going to tell you how this will work in the altar. You don't need to tell me anything. You can if you want to. If you just want to be free of anything like that. And you recognize, wait a minute, there's a hook in this. Jesus is here to set you free. He's more interested in what he wants to do right now than what he told you a few minutes ago. He's more interested in you receiving from the anointing. There's a reason I'm saying this. There's a cost to stepping out and receiving from the Lord. It's called being humble and teachable. Say, Jesus, I need something like this in my life. I'm presenting to you what I believe is the true Jesus and the real Jesus. Whenever he preached or taught, he'd follow it up by doing some things. It's the same Jesus. It isn't pastor trying to do something. Pastor loves you. I respect you, regard you highly. I believe God's best for your life, but I know what's out there. I know the kinds of things that come against the people of God and how easy it is to get off track. Well, have I made you thoroughly uncomfortable? I expected the biggest amen right there of anywhere. Why? Did you know that when the word's working on cutting, that's what it does? Have you ever had a cut and it was comfortable? I have not. In fact, the sharper the wound, the more discomfort. Like I remember as a little child in fourth grade being sent to the principal's office. I won't tell you why. I needed to go. It was appropriate. And Dad came to get me, and that was a major deal, middle of the day. But I remember going to Mr. Bear's office, and he talked to me a few minutes, and he said, "You willfully were stubborn against the teacher, yes. If you could do it over, would you do it the same way? Absolutely. Lay on the cot, I'm calling your dad." He didn't say mom. I remember the scenario, and I remember being bored. Dad couldn't come right away. And I heard Mr. Bear say, "He can stay here until 10 o'clock tonight. It's fine with me. I'll stay until you get here." Uh-oh. 10 o'clock at night's not a good hour to encounter tired dad at the end of the day. But I went over to the copy machine. I was fiddling with things on the copy machine, and he couldn't see me. And the secretary, I was sort of the secretary's pet. She'd laugh every time I got in trouble. And she knew my mom, and she never told mom on me. I said, "Pastor, I wasn't a terrible kid. I was just a little bit ornery sometimes, and I was very stubborn." But I stood at that copy machine and picked up the razor blade. I don't know why they kept razor blade on those old copy machines, but there was always one there. I was just playing with it, and I heard Mr. Bear get up out of his chair, and I sliced my thumb open. majorly big because I was trying to hurry up and drop everything, get back on the cot, not like get in more trouble, worse trouble. And blood out everywhere. And if you know me very well, your blood I can deal with, my blood I cannot. I looked at it, went, oh, and I could see bone. And I was just like this and seeing stars. And I was flailing my hands when he came out and blood was kind of dropping off my hands in the air. And I never got a spanking after all that. But I had to have my thumb put together. That hurt. It was the cleanest cut, cleanest wound I probably ever had. It hurt the worst. But here's the benefit of the clean wound. It healed up and I can show exactly where it is, but you can't see it. But I remember. Why? You remember things like that. The wonderful thing about the power of God is it may hurt when you're hearing the word, but he heals up marvelously. Stand to your feet. I want to pray. And those of you that are compelled to come to the altar, come. You're going to hear more preaching and teaching like this because we're entering a new day. That's what the Lord said, a time to give him room to do some things for us. And he's so generous, he just can't wait to do what he promises. He just wants to do it. And he's so wonderful that he doesn't condemn us in the doing. He loves us in the doing. He loves us in the doing. That's what the things we're talking about today, that's how he loves us. He gives us room, but then he says, I'm here if you decide you're in trouble. I'm here if you want out of trouble. So today, if you feel compelled along any lines, we'll pray for you. I can tell you if there's something that has a grip on you, I know what the power of God will do, and I've seen it hundreds of times in situations like this where faith is stirred. See, as much as concerns came up, faith was stirred today. If your faith is stirred, you can receive instant and complete freedom and deliverance. That's the Jesus that we serve. And it's nobody's business. And I won't say it out loud even if the Holy Spirit tells me. Now, I might come down and whisper in your ear something just so that you know God's got your number, because he does. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit backs up your word. Your Holy Spirit is the one that finishes our faith. Your Holy Spirit is the one that makes delivery on the word. Your Holy Spirit does it so well that we stand in amazement when we've been with you. So Heavenly Father, for those stirred by faith this morning, stirred at what your word says, stirred to understand they want free of what the enemy is stealing from them, I ask that you move in power to set your people free. Father, I thank you for freedom and liberty in the Spirit. I thank you that we're not a house of judgment, we're a house of liberty. And we're going to continue to preach a word of truth that's a word of liberty. But we're going to be full strength in doing it. Father, I ask that you confirm your word. In Jesus' name.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.